We're going to shift now from managing time to managing money as we check in with our finance guru, Alvin Hall. So let's say you're in a pinch. The car needs repairs, or you've forgotten to pay a bill that magically appeared on your desk. Where do you get some cash in a hurry? For some, the solution is a so-called payday lender. According to the Wall Street Journal, the payday loan industry has mushroomed over the last decade into a $48 million business. Joining us to talk about payday loans is money coach Alvin Hall. Welcome. Thanks for talking to us.
Glad to be here, especially about this subject.
Because?
Because I think it shows the real dark side of capitalism. When most states and the nation got rid of usury laws many, many years ago, I don't think they ever imagined that people or firms would charge other people up to 400% interest on loans. So it really is, it's gone too far. And it's going to force the government to look at these types of loans.
Okay, well, back up. What are these loans, and why would people choose them over, say, a bank loan or a personal line of credit? These are for small amounts of cash, right?
Yes, these are for small amounts, like $200, $300. And generally, it's very poor people or people who are in deep financial distress who don't have a checking account, who don't have very good credit, and therefore who don't have the normal access that most people would have to loans. So they go to one of these agencies. The agencies will typically make them a loan, but then in some cases, they'll demand that their paychecks go into a special account that they've opened, and then they'll go to this organization, and the organization will give them an allowance. In the case of people with Social Security, their Social Security checks ends up going into a checking account controlled by this organization, and then the individual will have to go to one of these places for an allowance.
But by definition, for years, the government has been encouraging people to get their Social Security checks direct deposited, which means that these folks then have bank accounts, because you have to have a bank account to get your check deposited. And I think something like 80% of Social Security recipients get their money direct deposited. Okay, so if that's the case, why then don't people go approach these lenders for loans from the banks they're already dealing with?
In general, these people probably have to pay some of the highest fees on those accounts because they probably don't even meet the minimum balance requirement to get free checking. Many of them don't understand how banking works, or they've had a bad patch of credit, so their credit is ruined anyway, and the banks won't make loans to people like this. So where else are they going to turn? So the positive part of this is that at least these people have access to loans to meet their emergency needs and often to put food on the table. The bad side of this is that the interest charges are astronomical.
How is that possible? You were saying that the interest can range from 200, can be up to 400%. How is that possible? I think people are used to thinking of like a 30% on the credit card bill as being out of control. So even though, you know, people do pay it, how is this possible?
Well, there's that old phrase, usury laws. And most people don't even recall when usury laws existed. These were laws primarily in the 1970s that placed caps on the amount of interest that people could pay on certain types of loans. When inflation hit, I think it was around 17% in the 1970s, New York State, for example, had a usury law. I think they set the maximum that you could charge on a credit card at 12%. Meanwhile, the prevailing interest rates were at 17%. So many states wiped away all of those laws and say, let the market bear what the market will. I think when they wiped away those laws, they never thought that there would be 30% on credit cards or 400% on these payday loans.
Well, I think industry officials would say that this industry does provide convenient access to small amounts of money.
Yes.
So
I would say that's a reasonable thing to say. But do you have to charge the people 400%? Why not say 30% is a reasonable return on your money? There's a point at which no matter how much of a public service you say that you're providing to poor people, it becomes a tad exploitive. And now I think they've gone way over the line.
What do you say to people who are considering taking out payday loans? And let's say that there are scenarios that people just cannot anticipate. I mean, they don't have a lot of savings. They need their car to get to work. If you're in that situation and you found yourself taking out one of these loans, is there a smart way to manage it so that you can avoid being indebted for life?
Don't sign over any paychecks to go into a checking account run by these companies. Keep control of that part of your money. try to negotiate a lower interest rate if you can, but if you can't, say how much the total amount you're going to pay back will be so you can get a sense of what kind of interest you're paying.
Insist on knowing that. Insist on saying, I want to know the total cost of this loan over time.
And often that'll stop people because if you're borrowing $200, for example, and you're seeing that by the end you're going to be paying back $700, you might say, what? Why am I paying back so much?
And if they won't tell you, that's a red flag.
It's a red flag, exactly.
Okay. Anything else?
Yes. I think that to the extent that you have to take out a loan, try to be disciplined. Do not take out multiple loans. Don't borrow from one payday loan company to pay the other. Take out one loan if you have to and stick with that, pay it off, and try to break that cycle.
All right. Financial expert Alvin Hall joined us from our New York bureau. Alvin, thanks so much.
You're most welcome.